This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
I was asked to come to the front with no introduction. It's fine. They said they don't need to introduce me today. No problem. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه والتابعين لهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. We thank and praise the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We seek Allah's aid and guidance and forgiveness. Truly whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides is on the right path, and those that are misguided will not find a guiding advocate. We bear witness and testify that no one is worthy of worship besides Allah. We also bear witness and testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's choicest peace, blessings, mercy, and salutations be on our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions, and those who follow in their guidance until the day of judgment. Respected Imam, respected ulama, respected elders, beloved brothers and sisters, I greet you with a wonderful greeting of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Indeed, as we in a country celebrate Human Rights Day, we have to look at human rights from a perspective of the Western world, and also, more importantly, from a perspective of Islam. But first allow me to say that the month of Ramadan is going very fast. And we must take every single opportunity, every minute, every second that we are during in this month and try to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as our objective would be to raise our consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah grant us to achieve our objectives and our goals during this month of Ramadan, inshaAllah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to pardon us and forgive us so that we can transform our lives and be better human beings, inshaAllah. Also, we first look at the Western world approach regarding human rights. You know, they have this habit. They have this habit of attributing everything that is good to themselves. You know, as if we did not exist before that. And they try to prove that because of them, the world has all the blessings. Otherwise, they say that the world would have been steeped in ignorance and completely unaware of these benefits. Now we have to have a look, a close look, at human rights from their perspective and how they claim that they are the ones who brought it to the world. And it is very loudly claimed also that they brought this concept of human rights from what is known as the Magna Carta. And through this Magna Carta itself came into existence human rights. But let alone, what they don't realize, what they are saying to the world, is this Magna Carta came 600 years after Islam. And this is the truth of the matter, because until the 17th century, no one even knew that the Magna Carta contained the principles of by trial and jury and the control of Parliament on the rights of taxation. Now, we ask this. If the people who drafted this Magna Carta that they are so screaming about, if they were living today, they would be surprised. They would be surprised that there are some ideals and principles that is incorporated in there. But they did not give it that attention. And it was not their intention as well to have it in the Magna Carta. Now the Westerners, and I'm focusing on the Western world first, so that we can draw a comparative study between Islam and the Western world. Because the Westerners has no concept whatsoever of human rights and civic rights before the 17th century. And even after the 17th century, the philosophers and the thinkers of jurisprudence, though presented these ideas, the practical proof and demonstration of these concepts can only be found at the end of the 18th century. And this you will find in the proclamations of what is known as America and France. And after they have appeared, they appeared as basic human rights in their constitution in different countries. But more often we find that rights that were given on paper were not actually given to the people in real life. And we know that. Coming to the 20th century, the United Nations, more aptly described as the divided nations, they came up with resolutions against genocide and framed this particular regulations to check it. And I want you to listen carefully. This is what they came up with. But there is not a single resolution of the United Nations which can be enforced, because the sanctions behind them has no force. It has no physical or moral force behind it. And no matter how good it sounds, United Nations has no right and no power to enforce any of those resolutions, because they have just become a spectator, and they are a helpless spectator as we know it. Why am I saying this? It has been proven the greatest and the heinous of crimes, genocide, has been perpetrated where? Despite all your proclamations that you have. India, for instance, Muslims have been persecuted for the last 60 years. We don't have to go to Palestine and Gaza and know what's happening there, because we all know the history by now. What has happened in Iraq, in Syria, in Central Africa? The killings has been going on and the murders has been going on. What have the United Nations done as far as human rights is concerned? So they're just helpless spectators sitting there with resolution after resolution being passed. Now we look at the Islamic approach. What would be the Islamic approach when we speak of human rights in Islam? What do we really mean? That these rights were granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one else. They have not been granted by any king or any legislative assembly. The rights that was granted, or that is granted by kings and legislative assemblies, remember, they can be withdrawn in the same manner that they have been conferred. But when it is conferred by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it cannot be withdrawn. Because no dictator, no ruler, no legislative assembly has the right to withdraw what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has conferred on man. And this is important. No one has the right to abrogate them. No one has the right to withdraw them. No one has the right to amend them even. And when Allah has conferred something, it is not just actual paper, but it goes to the real life and the execution of it. It is not like the philosophical concepts that we have, because there's no sanction behind it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah puts something there, it is for us to implement, to look at the human rights as Allah has conferred them on us. Because the charter proclamations and resolutions of the United Nations cannot, and it must not, and it will not ever be compared to what Allah has conferred on humankind. Because they are part and parcel of our iman. What Allah has conferred on us as regards to human rights is part and parcel of our faith and our belief. And therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it to us in total, that we do not have to add to it, or we do not have to take away from it, but just execute it. Now we look at our supposedly Islamic governments or rulers that supposedly be ruling according to what Allah has conferred upon them. But today we find lip service. Lip service, and they want to change and amend the way they want things done. But the verdict of the Holy Quran with regards to those who wants to change and amend whatever rights Allah has conferred on man, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says very clearly, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ Chapter 5, verse 44. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ Chapter 5, verse 45. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ Chapter 5, verse 47. Three categories Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions. If you do not judge and rule by what Allah has sent down, what Allah has conferred upon you, then you become a disbeliever. If you do not rule according to what Allah has conferred about you on you, then you become a zalim, or you become a fasiq. Let us just elaborate on that for one moment. And this means that if the temporal authority regard their own words or decisions to be right, and Allah's word is wrong, then they become of the kafirun. Listen very carefully, my dear brothers and sisters. They become of the kafirun because they regard their word above that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if they reject it wittingly, they become of the zalimun. And if they make decisions against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they can become of the fasiqun. So these three categories Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is stating, I have conferred certain things upon you which you cannot change, but this is the consequence if you do not rule according to what Allah has revealed and conferred upon mankind. And this temporal authorities that we are talking about, they claim to be Muslims, and yet they violate the rights and sanctions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask you, my dear brothers and sisters, as much as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us and conferred upon us human rights that cannot be changed, cannot be abrogated, the first right that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given regarding human rights is human life. Human life. And I think each and everyone know where we are moving with this right now. Because the first thing that we find in Islam, in the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that Allah has bestowed the haqq al-insan, and that is to have the right of humanity and the right of haya, the right of life. If we go to the Holy Quran, we hear this verse, and since The genocide started. We heard. Everybody is quoting, أَنَّهُ مَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسًا بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ أَوْ فَسَادٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَكَأَنَّمَا قَتَلَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. You hear this verse? That's part of a verse. If you have killed or murdered one soul, it is like you have killed the entire humanity. That's part of the verse. Where does this verse really fit in the whole scenario of one page? It starts off with Habil and Qabil. It starts off with وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ بَنَيْ آدَمَ بِالْحَقِّ إِذْ قَرَّبَا قُرْبَانًا فَتُقُبِّلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمَا وَلَمْ يُتَقَبَّلْ مِنَ الْآخَرِ قَالَ لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ قَالَ إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. This is where it starts off. It starts off with Habil and Qabil. And it starts off with the acceptance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the muttaqi, from the one who has taqwa. And therefore Allah says, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. It starts there. And so the verses continue. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention, مِنْ أَجْلِ ذَلِكَ. And because of that, كَتَبْنَا عَلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. We have written upon Bani Israel. Now the verse comes. أَنَّهُ مَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسًا بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ أَوْ فَسَادٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَكَأَنَّمَا قَتَلَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. Although the reference is directed at Bani Israel, it is directed at the Jews right here, but it is a general rule for each and every one. أَنَّهُ مَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسًا بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ أَوْ فَسَادٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَكَأَنَّمَا قَتَلَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. As far as the taking of life, in retaliation, as they call it, for murder, the question still stands. If there is corruption on earth, there must be an established government that will take decisions with regards to what is just and fair. You cannot just retaliate and take a life and say, I am retaliating because this and that happened. And therefore it becomes incumbent on every single human being that we must look at who we are as human beings. No matter where you come from, whether you come from the desert, whether you come from the jungle, whether you come from the city, no matter what your nationality, we are all human beings created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this creation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about, وَلَا تَقْتُلُ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. You cannot take a life, says Allah. Do not kill a soul. A soul, the soul that Allah has made sacred. وَلَا تَقْتُلُ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. Except through due process of law. And here also, again, we have to look at homicide, which has been distinguished from destruction of life as it is carried out in pursuit of justice. And only a proper and a competent court will be able to decide whether or not an individual has the right to forfeit his life. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes it clear. We talk about great sins. أعظم الذنب, the greatest of sin, الشرك بالله, to associate partners with Allah. Immediately after that, what is the greatest sin that follows that? قتل النفس, to take a soul, to kill a human being. We cannot even keep count anymore of how many souls have been taken. Thousands of them, thousands of women, thousands of children, their lives have been taken. What is there to celebrate with regards to human rights? What is there to celebrate? The only celebration we can have today is they are martyrs by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them either victory in this dunya and give them martyrdom in the akhirah. That is what we celebrate. But the life of a human being is sacred. And do not underestimate the life that is walking outside here as well, right on our doorstep. the amount of murders and killings that's been going on here, right here, and we want to celebrate Human Rights Day, and yet the murders in our own country here is escalating. It is on the rise. Why? Because the life of a human being today means absolutely nothing. It has no value any longer. Today, the human being gets kicked around like a football, and they can be taken, their life can be taken in any which way everybody wants because of the dictators of the world, because they dictate whether you can live or whether you can die. This reminds us. It reminds us of a certain time in the life of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, when it was said to him, "Ana uhyi wa umit." I can also let people live, and I can also let people die. And he gets two people standing in front of him, and he kills the one, and he says, "See, I can kill one, and I let the other one live." This is not what we are talking about. The lives that has been taken unjustly, unfairly. And if we want to celebrate human rights, then we have to start respecting life. And when you respect life, you're giving honor to life. You're giving honor to the human being, because this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought. When Allah created us with honor. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. On the other hand, if we look at the other side of the verse, أَنَّهُ مَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسًا بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ أَوْ فَسَادٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَكَأَنَّمَا قَتَلَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. The other part of the verse, وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَا النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. And if you save a life, it is like you have saved the life of entire humanity. I want you to listen carefully. Saving a life, it doesn't mean whether you're a believer or non-believer. It doesn't mean that whether you are black or white. But if you save a life, then you have saved the life of the entire humanity. I want to tell you what the Talmud says. You know the Talmud, the religious book of the Jews? It contains a very similar verse, very similar in nature, but it records it altogether differently. Whoever destroyed a life of the Israelite is, in the eyes of the scripture, it is as if he has destroyed the whole world. And whosoever protected and saved a life of an Israelite in the light of the scripture is as if he has saved the whole world. The Talmud also contains the view that if a non-Israelite, listen carefully, if a non-Israelite is drowning and you try to save that human being, then you that try to save him becomes a sinner. That is what it says. Now I ask you, is this not racism at its highest and its peak? We regard our duty as Muslims to save every human life, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enjoined us, commanded us to do so. And we must do so. Do you know what they regard us like? They regard us as the illiterate nation, Ummi. And they say, in Allah says in the Quran, "Laysa alayna fil ummiyina sabil." This is how they regard us. Because if you regard us as Muslims, as Ummi, and not an Israelite, as an Ummi, that means you can take the life whenever you want to. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted rights, human rights, they have violated not only the right of life, but they have violated the right of our women's chastity and their honor and their dignity. How many females were killed, butchered, raped? They have denied the infants. They have denied the babies. They have breached every single law that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed on humanity. May Allah protect us, inshallah, that these things does not happen right here. And even if it's happening there, believe it or not, we might not be able to be there and feel it with them, but we feel it in our hearts, our spirit, our emotions. These are with them, and we have to. We have to inculcate this into our children so that they can understand what is happening in the world today. My dear brothers and sisters, it goes as far as they will put in their constitution human rights and to protect the life of a human being. But in the constitution will say, a South African or an American or a British, where we are concerned, we say Muslim, period. We do not know their geographical boundaries because we are all brothers and sisters. And therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us the honor and dignity. And our life is sacred, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has declared in his Hajjat al-Wada', that the life of a believer is sacred as the day, as sacred as the month, as sacred as the time that they were in. Our lives are sacred. And you know the honor of a believer, how sacred it is. When we stand in front of the Kaaba, or we see the Kaaba for the first time, what do we say? Some of us don't even know what to say. But most of us would read, Allahumma zid hadha al-bayta sharafan wa karaman wa ta'zeeman. Oh Allah, increase this bayt, this house of yours, in honor and in greatness. And yet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, looking at the Kaaba, as great as you are, as sacred as you are, the honor of a believer is greater and more sacred than you. We look at the Kaaba and we say it's sacred, but we look at one another. How sacred are we when we look at one another? How are we when we look at our brothers that's being butchered? How sacred are they? So when we look at one another with karama, with honor, with dignity, and with love, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with this honor and conferred on us our rights. And nobody has the right to take it away, to amend it, to abrogate it, or to do whatever they want with it. They must follow the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah grant us to follow His laws, His commandments, and to follow that of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And before I conclude, allow me to say this. Congratulations to Masjid al-Furqan for what they have done last week to get the learners to do the khutbah and the salah from Islamiyah. I looked at the YouTube and I listened to the entire Jummah last week. Congratulations to you. This is our future. And if we can train them now, inshallah, our future looks bright, inshallah. And we'd like to see more of that, where our young people are being trained to do the khutbah, to do the lectures, to do the salah. And this is not just a feather in the cap, but also it's an honor for Islamiyah College to be able to do that. But also, I'm going to say this, he might not like what I'm going to say, but tribute I have to pay to Sheikh Sa'adullah Khan, who trained them very well, because I know he trained them. So alhamdulillah, this is for us a way forward, that inshallah, that they can take over and they can lead us and become true leaders inshallah, and inspire others to be and to follow in their path. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept whatever we have done so far and whatever we still have to do with regards to our fasting, our intentions, whatever sadaqat we have given, may Allah accept from us our good intentions and reward us abundantly and eternally, inshallah, and grant us the ability to see through the month of Ramadan, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Jazakumullah khairan to Sheikh Muhammad Murad, one of our alims here in the senior alims here in the Western Cape. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless Sheikh with a long life. Fadl khairat and barakat, siha wa afiyah. Amin ya rabbil alameen. And jazakumullah for the beautiful message. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect Sheikh. Amin ya rabbil alameen. Just a reminder to the jama'ah, the fitrah, 77 rand, and the fidya, 28 rand per day, inshallah. We urge the people once again to pay timely so that we can organize the parcels early, inshallah. And also our collection for the masjid, the upkeeping of the masjid, inshallah. We know that we only collect during the month of Ramadan, and also actually appeal to the broader community during the month of Ramadan to donate towards the masjid, inshallah, generously. Amin ya Rabbil Alameen. Jazakumullah khairan. We can ask the brothers to stand. There are quite a few people standing outside. There's quite a few gaps in between here, please. Can we just fill it before the khutbah, inshallah? So after the khutbah, we waste no time. Jazakumullah. We just ask the brother to stand. I know everybody's tired. I can see the eyes is falling closed. But inshallah. Wakey, wakey. Jazakumullah khairan.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الحمد لله، الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه والتابعين لهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فيا عباد الله، اتقوا الله سبحانه وتعالى وأطيعوه، فإن الله سبحانه وتعالى قد قال: فاتقوا الله وأصلحوا ذات بينكم. ويقول الله سبحانه وتعالى: والذين لا يدعون مع الله إلها آخر ولا يقتلون النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق ولا يزنون ومن يفعل ذلك يلقى أثاما، يضاعف له العذاب يوم القيامة ويخلد فيه مهانا، إلا من تاب وآمن وعمل عملا صالحا فأولئك يبدل الله سيئاتهم حسنات وكان الله غفورا رحيما. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: أعظم الذنب عند الله الشرك بالله. ثم قال: أي يا رسول الله؟ قال: قتل النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق. نفعني الله وإياكم بالقرآن الكريم، وتقبل مني ومنكم تلاوته، إنه تعالى جواد كريم، ملك بر رؤوف رحيم. الحمد لله كما يجب علينا من حمده وتعظيمه، ونشكره سبحانه على إحسانه وإنعامه وتكريمه، ونعوذ به من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ومن نزغات الشيطان وتوهيمه. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فيا عباد الله، اتقوا الله سبحانه وتعالى وأطيعوه، فإن طاعته أقوم وأقوى، وتزودوا فإن خير الزاد التقوى، واحذروا أسباب سخط الجبار، فإن أجسامكم على النار لا تقوى. ثم اعلموا أن الله سبحانه وتعالى قد قال في كتابه العزيز: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد صاحب الوجه الأنور والجبين الأزهر وارض اللهم عن أصحابه أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وعن سائر أصحاب نبيك أجمعين وعن التابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وعنا معهم بمنك وكرمك ورحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والمشركين ودمر أعداءك أعداء الدين واجعل هذا البلد آمناً مطمئناً وسائر بلاد المسلمين اللهم آمنا في أوطاننا واصلح أئمتنا وولاة أمورنا واجعل ولايتنا في من خافك واتقاك واتبع رضاك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم انصر إخواننا في فلسطين اللهم انصر إخواننا في غزة اللهم انصر المجاهدين في كل مكان اللهم دمر اليهود وشتت شملهم اللهم فرق جمعهم اللهم وحد صفوف المسلمين اللهم وحد صفوف المسلمين اللهم اعلي كلمتك إلى يوم الدين اللهم ارزقنا صلاة في مسجد الأقصى قبل الممات اللهم ارزقنا صلاة في مسجد الأقصى قبل الممات ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله العظيم الجليل يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة. Before we enter into our salah, a word of advice, especially for a younger generation. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when the imam ascends the minbar, please be silent and listen attentively. So please, young people, take note of that hadith because you can lose your jumu'ah if you are not going to listen to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Jazakum Allah khairan.
الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين واتل عليهم نبأ بني آدم بالحق إذ قربا قربانا فتقبل من أحدهما ولم يتقبل من الآخر قال لأقتلنك قال إنما يتقبل الله من المتقين لئن بسطت إلي يدك لتقتلني ما أنا بباسط يدي إليك لأقتلك إني أخاف الله رب العالمين إني أريد أن تبوء بإثمي وإثمك فتكون من أصحاب النار وذلك جزاء الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل يا أيها الكافرون لا أعبد ما تعبدون ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد لكم دينكم ولي دين الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله استغفر الله نستغفر الله من التواب الرحيم الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم ونتوب إليه ونسألك يا رب توبته والمغفرة والهداية لنا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم
الفاتحة الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم لا تدع لنا في مقامنا هذا ذنبا إلا غفرته، ولا همّا إلا فرجته، ولا دينا إلا قضيته، ولا مريضا إلا شفيته، ولا مبتلا إلا عافيته، ولا ميتا إلا رحمته، ولا حقا إلا أعليته، ولا باطلا إلا أزهقته، ولا مجاهدا في سبيلك إلا نصرته، ولا مجاهدا في سبيلك إلا نصرته، ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة هي لك فيها رضا ولنا فيها صلاح إلا أعنتنا على قضائها ويسرتها برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم يسر ولا تعسر، رب تمم بالخير. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.